Our next presenter is Dr. Rob Simmons. Rob is Associate Professor and Director of the MPH Program at Thomas Jefferson Hospital, University School of Population Health in Philadelphia. Dr. Simmons has been a public health educator for over 40 years, working both with government, community organizations, private health foundations, healthcare organizations, and academic public health programs. He has extensive experience working with health systems and professionals as a health educator, adding value to the health education and health promotion role of such organizations, as well as collaborative initiatives. Rob will be talking more specifically about the alignment of health educators' roles and the new opportunity with innovative ACA models. Rob?
Thank you, Wayne. That's a long explanation. Thanks. Well, I'm going to try to take some of the examples from what Jeff and Charlie talked about, specifically in Minnesota, and see what type of roles we can play, and then Ricky is going to follow up and really get into specific as far as the competencies. I'll highlight a few of those. I was struck this morning going to a CHW session this morning, and probably many of you have gone to those, and where they are moving, and they is a very big they, because the range of different community health workers, from those who have no education or minimal education directly from the community, certainly speaking the language, but also people, I was surprised to learn, that have both baccalaureate and master's level training, who are also in the role of CHW. So it's a moving target, very broad, and we have the same challenges, of course, with our different skill sets as health educators and health promotion specialists of where we fit in the changing systems. No relationships to describe. I'm going to disclose. I'm going to just highlight these very quickly as far as the learning objectives. What are some opportunities we can get engaged? We certainly hope you'll have a chance to share a little bit of your experience, too, in the Q&A time. Differentiate health education skills and competencies for trained and certified health educators, how they can benefit healthcare, improving population health, and finally, some strategies for specific actions that health educators can take with various key stakeholder groups, which we've already heard quite a bit about as far as those systems from both Jeff and Shirley. I want to thank several people, Elaine for allowing me to use some of the Sophie sides, Ricky from Jefferson to some of her work, Ann DeBessie, who presented at our summit, from Trust for America's Health from that perspective, and also got a few things from our regional 3 Office of Health and Human Services. This you've already seen. Obviously, we focus on the lower space, typically, staying healthy prevention space, but clearly, and now with the issue, the aspect of affordability and insurance and marketplaces, of course, and also, as we can, patient-centered care coordination, what role we can play in the area of better care and quality. These are some of the things, you know these already. These are in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. I always refer to the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, because everything we hear about are affordable care, and our focus should be on the actual patient protection side. So these are just some examples. You've seen that this is part of that. Doesn't get enough play. Sorry, I guess this is also on a timer, so I'll try to move through quickly on that. I don't know why. But anyway, and these are some of the things I highlighted. There's 38 sections regarding prevention and public health in the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. These are just some of those. I want to go back and highlight some things, particularly on this slide. You can see some of these things with Medicaid services, Medicare wellness visits. We have some examples of that, where health educators can play a role with that. So I just wanted to highlight these things. Obviously, some of the other things many of you might be working in and very familiar with these. It's all part of our national prevention strategy. So this is the space that we typically work in with that strategy. And if we look at some of the 4 areas of safe and healthy, healthy and safe community environments, obviously clinical preventive services and community, empowering and elimination of health disparities, these are some of our areas that we particularly can focus on and make a difference within and play a role within various healthcare alignments. So how can we enhance greater focus? The fund was already mentioned. Also, the community transformation grants were already mentioned as far as roles that can play. Payment systems were sort of highlighted by Jeff accountable care organizations. One of the questions that I'll ask as we move on is, are you familiar with your local, the formation of accountable care organizations in your community? And if not, how can we get engaged with that? We have a new one in Philadelphia for our region. How do we get health education, health promotion engaged in that conversation early on before they're too far along in the process? So be curious your experience with that. Obviously, patient-centered medical homes and then PCORI on the research side. So this was from Lisa from RWJ that Elaine shared that with me. And what I want to emphasize here is that clearly this space is where a lot of the focus is, obviously in healthcare settings. But actually, not only in schools and colleges, I'm going to highlight a little bit more. Jeff talked about that in work sites. Voluntary organizations can be clinical or non-clinical, and health departments, because so many health departments are going through accreditation. There's a synergy there, and we're working on a project, Dr. Brown and myself, directly in Philadelphia, co-sponsored really by our Region 3 Health and Human Service Office, with all of the hospitals in the five county regions, and with the five local health departments in collaboration on that process. It's really important to have that perspective. It's not just, the space isn't just within the walls of the healthcare organization. So regarding that, just a couple of highlights of things. It's obviously based on a strong primary care core, which is important, accountable for cost and quality, and the ability to potentially manage better care. And that management and coordination and administration is one of the areas of, that we can consider in some of our roles in planning and evaluation that health educators can play a role. Excuse me for that. So this slide you may have seen from the original Wagner model of the care model. I want to highlight the community side of this. This is mostly within the healthcare sphere, but the community side of self-management support, resources and policy development, how we can be patient-centered on the services side, and then empowering patients and families in addition to the practice, you know, role of the practice team. This is an area that health educators can play a role from their background on that side of that, obviously activating decision-making processes and the reimbursement for non-physician staff. That was one of the things this morning that was fascinating, with not only the four different groups presenting on community health workers, but of the audience getting involved, that payment models are all different. It's like they're all struggling with issues of payments and, you know, the average range of a community health worker visit, whether that's in the home, for example, or in the healthcare system or in a community environment, was 12 minutes, yet the billing's often for 30 minutes and they can't bill them because they have to try to change those to make sure the billing payments can go to 15-minute increments. These are the types of financing and billing issues that we need to face and address. So we have a whole person environment, you know, patient-centered medical homes. I want to highlight, hopefully all of you have heard of community-centered health homes, Prevention Institute from California, and many others about that. Obviously, where can we fit in and coordinating on a whole person orientation? That's some of the things that we bring as health educators in that process. So community-centered health homes, I'm just curious, how many people have heard of that before? Hopefully all of you. Quite a few of you have. So that's really a communication that hopefully we can use so that it's, the space is not just solely within a healthcare environment. It's tied to the community, and that's their responsibility as we go eventually from fee-for-service to different payment structures for that. So this is some examples of that. This is very hard to see. It is from the Prevention Institute. They have some great resources. But I want to highlight some of these things in the community-centered health homes. I don't know if you can read it, but data collection. Aggregating health and safety data, reviewing safety trends. So again, it's data analysis, identifying priorities, it's community organizing with community partners and working with that, acting as community health advocates, that was mentioned earlier in some of these roles, mobilizing populations, working with key stakeholders, strengthening partnerships within local groups, and establishing various models of organizational practices. That may be not as much in our sphere, but these are types of things that we need to really focus on. And then the medical services also have some practices, empowering communities, culturally and linguistically appropriate care. These are our sort of sweet spots. These are areas where we can play a role, but we got to educate, we got to get connected with these organizations to move forward with that. And then this is the final slide that I have from Prevention Institute, but just to show the inquiry of that, of outcomes, exposures, and behaviors. So that means community exposures and behaviors and how we can then work with the environment and be the link, hopefully, with many of these organizations. So this is from Sophie, and wanted to use one example of our competencies going forward, and that's leadership. So we really need to make the case for our leadership strength and our ability to do so, and to highlight the fact, if we look at that, both entry level or advanced, these are the type of strategies and resources we can provide within this framework of the changing healthcare system. But it means we have to sell that. That means we have to not just sell, we have to connect with the appropriate people, make the case. First is the case that your skill sets, our skill sets, are needed. Once we can make that case, and that's not easy to do, but we have to educate them about it, now we look at how can we be part of the system, and then we get into reimbursement. If we can't make that case first of who we are, what our skill sets are, that we're specially trained, what our backgrounds are, and working in the communities, then the payment system comes after that, because they're not going to appreciate and prize who we are and what we can offer before we can get into thinking about how we might be able to get reimbursed. So I want to just use that as an example. There's another example as far as the health educator and healthcare system. Clearly on the lower right, aspects of community health needs assessments, which Ricky is going to talk about specifically, as a great opportunity for all of us to get engaged in that process, and then identifying populations, et cetera. Moving on. Some of the value added is health educators. Now, this necessarily is not going to be something that it's going to be easy to sell with people or communicate, but it's important that they understand we have backgrounds in behavior change. We have researched and conducted that and been actively engaged in that process, and we can serve as a bridge between healthcare and community resources. These are key roles for us. There's a few other examples of that: material development, various strategies, coalitions and partnerships, working across various levels of the community. Obviously, writing grants. Part of that strategy can be, I've certainly talked to somebody who said, I really agree with health education. We don't have it in our budget. We don't have a way to do it. One strategy is, how can we maybe write a grant, and Shirley talked about that, and work with them and bring some funding in, and then we can develop and build our role. So building those bridges are important. At system level, structural barriers, I do want to mention, Jeff highlighted it, at the very bottom, CDC's National Healthy Work Site Program and Business Coalitions of Health. Hopefully some of you are connected to your local Business Coalitions of Health. These are great people to connect with. It's expanding nationwide. Connect with them. Many of them are large employers. You can also connect with their insurance organizations tied to them. It's a great resource to try to connect with. Needs assessment, planning, implementation of interventions, evaluation designs. These are all our skill sets. We have to figure out strategies on a direct relationship with those contacts that you have to how we can communicate that and have them see that these are important skills and things that we can help them with. And then administration and management, I'm just taking this from our competencies, responsibilities and competencies for CHES, and communication and advocacy, working in teams. Our teamwork skills, our leadership and teamwork skills is something we want to highlight. You know, how we can bring all that together, linking the healthcare system and the community. Our ROI, we didn't talk much about that, but they're going to look for a return on investment. And you can see some examples of this where there is some really good ROI. The last thing, I don't know how familiar you are with value-based insurance design or value-based benefit design, but it also has very good ROIs. Many of these are preventive services: tobacco cessation, hypertension, cholesterol, those type of diabetes. So these types of things can make the case for a good, positive return on investment. These are some opportunities, linkages. I know I'm running out of time. I want to highlight two programs real quick where they integrate healthcare and community. Two large cities, San Francisco. So San Francisco, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, but community health improvement partnerships. Now, this is not recent. This is over 20 years in the making. What a wonderful partnership they have. Health educators and health promoters are engaged. You can see the types of groups. It's coordinated through the local health department in San Francisco. UC San Francisco does their data and research analysis, all the nonprofit hospitals, Kaiser Permanente, of course, and developing their benefit plan. So there's that. The other is Healthy Chicago. And these are just two that I picked that really are nationally noted, how they've integrated public health, community health, perfect settings. These are the types of environments that health educators can flourish in. So I wanted to highlight those two particular cities. These are some of the things that are part of that, that what we can do. The last thing I want to mention, there's a reference to an article that Dan Bibbo and people, this was in the Association of Family Practice Management, and how health educators can get reimbursed for the annual visits. Okay, so that's a really neat article. It came out earlier this year. Gave you a specific one. This is community health, a link to community health frameworks that Ricky's going to talk about, and now the integration of that framework. And then something that just came out, take a look at it. It just came out last week from CMS, what's called the Minimal Essential Coverage, or MEC. So I have a copy of that if you wanted to see it. But look at some of the services. Health educators can play a role in that. That just came out last week. So in summary, vast experience, strong educational background in our profession, specialized training in a wide range of health promotion, disease prevention areas, various competencies, and we have our national certification. Those are things we want to highlight. And then last thing for Sophie, this is from last year for Sophie, if you haven't had a chance to get a copy of that, the Affordable Care Act, the role of health education. And then the last slide is to mention that we are going to do a webinar on December 8th. At these times, it'll be a free webinar. It can be recorded if you can't make it. We'd love to have you join us and provide feedback and input on that. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay.